Hey, Faith Lutheran Church, Pastor Terrell here for another Sunday reflection on Monday. And it was one of those Sundays where the Bible study and the Word on Sunday morning during the Divine Service just kind of merged nicely together in some ways. And so let me tell you what I mean, okay? As you're studying God's Word, which is something I hope you do, every day, it's where you find life everlasting and the promises of God. So you got to read it. Have you ever been reading it, studying it, meditating on it, thinking about it, and it just hits you really hard what God is saying to you, and it just felt like He was condemning you in that moment? Has that ever happened to you? Or have you ever read a part of God's Word and it just really enlivened your soul and encouraged you and it seemed like it brought life to you? If it has, which I hope it has, this is something in Lutheranism that we call law and gospel, that God's Word, that is the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, can be divided into law and gospel. So some of it that we read is law. In other words, it is God's rules and commandments, His judgments, His instruction. And when we read these words that are law, it often makes us feel condemned. It condemns us. We can see quite clearly what it is God expects and how far we fall from that expectation. All right. Sometimes when we read God's Word, it's a promise from God to forgive us or restore us and renew us or raise us from the dead or give us life everlasting. And we find out how gracious and loving God is in Jesus. This is gospel, and it's also very important for you to see. But so on Sunday morning during Bible study, we encountered God's law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, we encountered Paul's letter to the church, to Christians in Corinth, who had, they have heard the gospel, they've come to believe in Jesus, but how that freedom in Christ has appeared in their life and worked itself out in their daily living is not according to God's law. In fact, their flesh, the desires of their flesh, have taken them astray. And so Paul is trying to bring them back, trying to get them ordered rightly according to God's word and according to the gospel of Jesus and Him crucified. And so those chapters are really a little awkward, but very good. And it made some of us, me and some others in the study and reading through the book, it made us feel condemned. We were hit with the law, and it made us squirm a little bit, which is good. It's always a good thing when we're confronted with the goodness of God and the law of God, because Psalm 19 says it's perfect, it's good, it revives the soul. Okay, God's word, instruction, His law, and His gospel are good things for us. And so Sunday we got hit hard, and we are seeing our own sin from our past, whatever it might be. There's a long list of sins that Paul has in the Corinthian church, and he lists this in Galatians. He lists these sins in Romans. Okay, so he talks about adultery and fornication, impurity, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, right, fighting amongst each other, dissension and factions, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing. These things are listed by Paul in many of his letters, and we're seeing this in his letter to the church in Corinth. And as we're reading it today, we just have a lot of guilt, maybe a lot of shame, as we're encountering these words from God through Paul. Now, I bring this up because when we think about the Lord's Supper, which is not something I talked about in connection with John chapter 6, which was my sermon text, But the language in John chapter 6 is communion language. It's in our liturgy. Jesus is the bread of life in John chapter 6. This is what he's telling us, that he gives himself, his body and blood, for life and forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. And those who eat the body and blood, who eat the body and drink the blood, those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. And so he is the bread of life. Now, in the 21st century, in the 21st century church, we look back through the institution of the Lord's Supper to John chapter 6. And so when we're reading John chapter 6, we're hearing also where Jesus sat with his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." So we can connect the Lord's Supper with Jesus' words about himself, his flesh being the bread of life, that place where eternal life and salvation come. It all rests, all culminates right in him, in Jesus, the God-man. All right, so we encountered the law in Sunday school, and then we encountered the gospel in John chapter 6, and then we gathered together at the altar for communion, where we ate his body and drank his blood, and we received Christ himself, his flesh, for the forgiveness of sins and for life everlasting. Now, I was thinking about this Sunday afternoon and Monday morning, and the question came into my mind, if I know I'm a sinner, okay, as we felt, as we're studying God's word and the law hit us, we know we're sinners, we know we fall short of God's expectations, we cannot fulfill the law of God, we can't follow his rules. We're constantly breaking. We broke them in the past, and the guilt from those things are still haunting us. And it's just, we know we need help. What do you do? Well, I want to read from the Large Catechism. Luther's writing the Large Catechism, and there's a whole section on the sacrament of the altar, which is Holy Communion. And here's what he says. When you feel condemned, when you're overcome with guilt and grief because you are not living the way that your Lord, your King, is telling you to live. Here's what he writes. Those who feel their weakness, who are anxious to get rid of it and desire help, should regard and use the sacrament as a precious antidote against the poison of their systems, their bodies. For here in the sacrament, you are to receive from Christ's lips the forgiveness of sins, which contains and brings with it God's grace and Spirit with all his gifts, protection, defense, and power against death and the devil and every trouble. Thus you have on God's part both the commandment and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the commandment to eat and drink, that is, and the promise that he'll forgive you your sins. Meanwhile, on your part, you ought to be induced by your own need, which hangs around your neck and which is the very reason for this command, invitation, and promise. For he himself says in Matthew chapter 9, that is, Jesus says himself in Matthew chapter 9, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. That is, those who labor and are burdened with sin, fear of death, and the attacks of the flesh and the devil. If you are burdened and feel your weakness, go joyfully to the sacrament of the altar and let yourself be refreshed, comforted, and strengthened. For if you wait until you are rid of your burden in order to come to the sacrament purely and worthily, you will have to stay away from it forever. In such a case, he pronounces the verdict, if you are pure and upright, I have no need of you, and you have no need of me. Therefore, the only ones who are unworthy are those who do not feel their burdens nor admit being sinners. You see, in the Lord's Supper, in John chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians, in God's Word, God is making apparent to you and to me that we need a physician, that we are indeed sick with sin, and we fear death, and we struggle against the attacks of the flesh and temptation and the devil, and we just strive and struggle and labor and are constantly afflicted. These trials are always against us, and we often fail. We failed in the past, we fail in the present, we fail in the future, and we're weak and sick. And when we know this, we desire deeply to go to the place where the Savior is, to go to the place where Jesus is. And Jesus is in the bread and the wine. He is there in the altar, ready to give to us the promises of God, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. So if you are finding yourself overcome in despair, and you feel overcome with guilt and shame, you're nervous, you're scared of death, maybe this year and COVID has wrecked you, what do you do in those situations except go and find Jesus? And where is he? He's where the word is proclaimed. He's where the sacraments are given. He is there on the altar. So, as Luther says, go joyfully to the sacrament and let yourself be refreshed and comforted and strengthened. So one last question, I guess, as I close here. How often do you need to eat the bread and drink the wine? How often do you need the comfort and the strength of the promises of God? Once a month? Once a quarter? Or maybe just on Christmas and Easter? Is it every Sunday? I know I need it every day that I possibly can.